So I was driving down the road toward our house the other day, and I saw a sign along the road that I think probably a lot of you have seen frequently, and that's the Ten Commandments sign. And we see those a lot of people's yards, and we probably glance over them. I think most of us know them pretty well. I get quite a blessing when our younger children get up on Wednesday nights and recite the Ten Commandments, and we're all pretty excited and to hear them do that. So I have a lesson here that I'd like to talk to you tonight about commandments. But so we think about the Ten Commandments. I would like you to give me a commandment that's in the Bible that's not one of the ten. Can you think of a commandment in the Bible that's not one of the ten? If you've read Leviticus, there's quite a few in there. Can you think of any? None? Nada? Zip? Nulch?
Give us a starting word.
Do not wear. Okay, so there's one thing that you don't wear. So a woman's not to wear that which pertaineth to a man, and vice versa. Do not wear clothing that is of mixed fibers, of mixed kinds. Do not eat shellfish, unclean, cloven hoof. We got a lot of commandments in the Bible. I could go on and on. That's not the lesson. But in the Ten Commandments, as we think about those and we think about some of the other commandments in the Bible, what is the greatest commandment? You know, sometimes we have rules at our house and there's some that I kind of really want them to obey, and some I'm adamant if you do not obey this commandment, there is going to be trouble. I don't know if that's how God looks at it, but actually, Jesus did mention that there is a greatest commandment. So what is the greatest commandment? Does anybody know? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you'll turn to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And there's four things we're told that we're to love God with. All, by the way. Not just part, of course. So when you get to that scripture, tell me one of the things we're to love God with.
All thy heart.
Okay, so heart's going to be one.
All thy soul.
And soul is going to be one.
Mind.
Mm-hmm. And one more.
Strength.
Thank you. Super. All right. So we've got four things. So I came across this verse this past week in my daily devotions and being analytical. I thought, what does it mean to love God with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength? Are they different? Are they the same? Now, obviously, at a glance, that means love God with your whole being. But if we took it apart, what does it actually mean? And so I thought about, and just quickly, I'm going to hit on a few of them because I want to, the lesson tonight is, do you love God with all your mind? I'm going to pick just one. But I thought about heart. What does it mean to love God with your heart? So your heart is usually associated with what? Feelings and emotions. There's a really good service going on. God's blessed you. You got straight A's. Your car didn't break down. Your prayers all got answered this week. Oh, I love the Lord. Things are going well, and I have this feeling just rising up in me of love for God. Now, this might be a simplified version, and I'm sure you could study it in great depth, but what about your strength? Deuteronomy calls it your might. How might we love God with our strength? Well, there's Sister Karen was in here a little bit ago trying to get some people to help her with the play. That's loving God with your strength. Showing up on work day. Doing your devotions. I think anything that requires energy. So having a special tonight. Brother Alex had a special. I believe that's loving God with your strength in a simplified way to look at it. Your soul, that's been described as the real you, your personality. So perhaps that's another way of looking at it. But what does it mean to love God with your mind? You just think, I love God, I love God, I love God, I love God. Does that mean we're just thinking, I love God? Is that what that means? Our thoughts revolve around him. That could be one way. Wasn't maybe another word for mind? Your intelligence? Your understanding? Consider if you only love God with your heart. Only your heart. And you've accidentally forgot the other three. What do emotions do, ladies especially? Whew, roller coaster. I feel good. I don't feel so good. I'm happy. I'm sad all at the same time. Many times I would be on that roller coaster. My mother would say, go to bed. Just go to bed. Go to sleep. You'll be much better in the morning. And she was always right. But emotions do this. And if we love God like a roller coaster, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. God's going to be like, what in the world? We got to love God with more than just our heart. What if we only love God with our strength? Not our heart, not our soul, not our mind. We're working for the Lord. We're working for the Lord. We're working for the Lord. What's that going to lead to, quite possibly? Burnout. Exactly. Going to be burned out. And I think about soul. What if, to me, a soul is, the real me means a relationship. I'm having a relationship. You get to know the real me. I'm not pretending. I'm not nervous. I'm just, you know, I'm the real me. The sarcastic, the funny, the goofy, the makes mistakes, can't find her way around Newark. Real me. Can I have a relationship with someone that I don't know and I don't love? No. It's not going to be sustainable. If I don't love them, I'm not going to show the real me. So I want to stress that we need all of these. And I think we're doing really good on the heart. We're probably in the strength. We're doing really good. And the soul, working really hard. Let's not be fake. Let's be real Christians. Let's put your whole heart into it. Be you. Get up here. Share your talent. Tell a testimony. Tell us what's going on. So I think we're working on that. But I wonder if we really love God with all our mind. All our mind. So I come across a term that said, mindless Christians. Are we mindless Christians? And I begin to study that. A mindless Christian is someone who fails to love God with their mind. Now, Christians are making vital decisions all the time. Where am I going to work? What career am I going to choose? What classes should I choose? Who should I date? Who should my friends be? We're making vital decisions all the time. What are your decisions based on? If they're based on feelings, that might get you in trouble. What about obligation? Well, I'm just going to church because it's expected. Mom and Dad expect I'll be in trouble if I don't. You're not loving God with your mind. It's mindless Christianity. You're doing what's expected. You're going with the flow. It's camp meeting time. Everybody's raising their hand. Everybody's going to youth group. I better go too. It's mindless Christianity. Some people say, oh, I don't agree with that part of the standard. Pastor preached it. I don't agree with that part. I just don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't believe it. What are those based on? I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't believe it. What are you basing that opinion on? The Bible? Oh. And I've heard people through the years say that. And I'm like, okay, fine. You don't feel like it's wrong, but what do you know? What do you know? Have you applied your mind to Christ? Or are you just mindlessly following your feelings? Because honestly, there's parts of the standard that all of us don't probably care for. And I'm talking about the dress standard. I'm talking about how we conduct ourselves, not just how we look, where we go, what we talk. When I was a kid, we had rules at our house about certain words we weren't allowed to use. And guess what? I didn't agree with them. I did it because I didn't want to get in trouble. But as I became an adult, I thought, why did Mom and Dad have that rule? Why did they have a problem with us using those certain words? So I began to work to love the Lord with my mind. I began to apply my mind. And today, my children can probably tell you we had the same rule in my house because I decided not to be a mindless Christian. I wanted to know for myself. When we base our Christianity on how we feel, what we believe, emotions, we're going to get in trouble. It's a foundation like on sinking, it's like on shifting sand. It's going to move. We need to build it on something solid. So are you loving God with your mind or with your feelings? Now, truth is valuable, very valuable. We hear songs. We have the ultimate truth in the church of God. There's another song that says, thank God for the truth. We raise our hand. Yes. We have the ultimate truth. Thank God for truth. What are we saying? What's truth? What is it? Do we know what it is? Sometimes I've wondered. Thank God for truth. What is the truth? I mean, I know thy word is truth and Jesus is the truth. But deeper than that, what is the truth? How can I love it if I don't know what it is? How can I raise my hand and say, I have it, when I don't even know? Maybe I don't. How do I know? Am I loving God with my mind? Young people, this is going to take a little bit of work. Feelings. All of you are having feelings right now. They can come with no effort whatsoever. Oh, I don't like that. I don't feel so good. My stomach hurts. She's beautiful. I hope she talks to me. Feelings are like, woo! And if your females are like, they're coming in 100 miles an hour and 75 of them all at the same time and you know what to do with them. Feelings just come. So we can love the Lord with our heart. I think it's easier because we're dealing with feelings all the time. But too many times, it's a lot harder to love the Lord with our mind. You're told what to believe. You're taught certain things, and you're told this is truth, and you just accept it. Okay. I trust that person. Must be truth. We have the ultimate truth. Sister Sherry, what is the truth? Oh, yeah, we have it. Thank you. I'm glad we have it. How can we be sure we have the ultimate truth if we don't know what it is? We sing a song that says, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Who is he? Doesn't everybody know who Jesus is, Sister Sherry? Why does the song say, I'm glad? I mean, if I go to the grocery store at Christmas time, everybody knows who Jesus is. He's the reason for the season, right? Easter, everybody knows who Jesus is. It's why we're getting candy in our Easter baskets. He's the reason. Why do we sing a song that says, I'm glad I know? Because I've gone beyond a surface knowing. I've gone beyond a historical story. And I've applied my mind. I've worked to love the Lord my God with all my mind. And Jesus has become a person to me. Think about Matthew 7 and 23 when Jesus said, in that day, speaking of the judgment day, I will say, I never knew you. Jesus doesn't know people? Is there anybody on this planet that Jesus does not know who they are? How on the judgment day could he look at someone and say, I never knew you? Is he talking about he doesn't know where they live, or he's never heard of them, or he doesn't know anything about them? Or is he saying, I did not have a personal relationship with you? You did not love the Lord your God with all your mind, strength, soul, and heart. Consider this. What if I told you that Donald Trump knows who you are? Donald Trump, famous, rich, former president. He has known you your whole life. He cares about you, and you don't know it now, but he's working really hard to help you be financially stable and help you get a good education. Work everything out. He's got some plans for your life. And by the way, he wants you to call him. And he wants to come visit you at your house. How does it make you feel? Wow. Okay. One of the richest men, powerful men in the United States, knows me. He wants to help me. Wow. I'm appreciative. I feel favored. Now, if I told you that, do you love Donald Trump? Do you really love him? You can be thankful. He's shown attention, and he's going to help you out, and he's working for you. You can be appreciative, but do you love him? Do you know him? If you don't know him, how can you love him? I think about comparing to dating. First time we see each other. First time I saw Brother Steve right here in this room. Oh, he's kind of cute. Oh, she's looking good. Yeah. I don't know much about him. I couldn't figure out what his last name was for months. And then I couldn't spell it. Then I hear a few things about him. Boy, he's kind of crazy. He makes people laugh. Got a great smile. I'm getting a little interested. Do I love him? I don't know him. How can I love him? But I'm getting a little interested. Then we start spending time together. I ask questions. He asks me questions. We write notes. What do you like? Well, I like this. I'm taking this in class. You can believe what this teacher said. That was stressful. Oh, you got stressed out? Me too. I get stressed out.
and we begin to learn about each other. And as I grew to know him, I grew to love him. One of my favorite love songs, we have a few, is "I Thought I Loved You Then." And the more you get to know each other, the greater that love grows. And the song that says, "Oh, the years have drawn us closer. My love for him has grown." Why? Because I've got this heart full of feelings that are coming and going? No, because I've applied my mind. I begin to know who he is. I begin to learn more about him. We have to love God with all four. Only when we know somebody can we love them. How can you love God with your mind? What are your beliefs about God? How do you know they're true? Do you believe that God is a God of love and only wants what's best for you? It is only going to give you good things. And if you live for him, nothing bad will ever happen. Do you believe that? Because if you do, buckle your seatbelt. That's not real life. Bad things happen to good people. And then when that happens, if you've got that wrong perception of God, if you've not truly loved him with your mind, if you haven't learned who he is, you're going to be like, "God, who in the world are you?" When I was a little girl, if I behaved, I didn't get spanking. Do good, good things happen. And so then you grow up and you live for the Lord and you think, if I'm a good little Christian girl, bad things will not happen to me because I've misunderstood. I didn't apply my mind to learning who God is and how he works. And then when bad things came in my life, I'm like, "God, who are you? Why did you let this happen? I thought we had a thing going here. I thought you loved me." Somehow I must have failed to read the stories about Job and Joseph and Esther. They had some pretty rough things happen to them. Didn't mean God didn't love them. God was working something much bigger than they could understand. We got to apply our mind. We've got to love with our God. We have to love God with all our mind. Your mind is essential to the Christian life. You cannot love him with just your heart. Jeremiah 17 and 8 tells us the heart's deceitful. Our heart can deceive us. Our feelings can deceive us. And if we're ignorant of the truth of God's word, our emotions can lead us to do what feels good in the moment, and off we go in the wrong direction. But Jeremiah 9, I don't think I've ever read this scripture before. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, "Let him who boasts, boast in this." So if you're going to boast in anything, and it's got to be in the Lord, boast in this, that you understand, the scripture says, that he understands and knows me. That you are loving God with all your mind. If there's anything to feel good about, it's that you're applying that. You're getting to know God. He said that I am a God who practices steadfast love and justice and righteousness in the earth. And again, I ask you, why do you believe what you believe? Do you know? Do you know what you believe? Have you applied your mind? When difficult questions come, what do you say? Oh, the pastor teaches against it, so it must be wrong. Mom and dad make me do it, so they must be right. I don't know why, I just have a gut feeling about it. Now, I think if I asked you, we all could raise our hand. If I say, have you had questions come to you about your faith that you did not know how to answer? I think we all can say, yeah, I didn't. That doesn't mean that you failed. Let it be a prompt. Go home and get in the word. How do you know you can live free from sin? How come your church preaches that? I don't know really for sure, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to apply my mind. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my mind tonight. I'm going to try to find that out. Romans 12 and 2 says that when you get saved, God renews your mind. That means he changes the way you think. And that's amazing. But he doesn't fill it with the whole word of God. Whoosh, you know it all now. Go forth and multiply. Get new Christians. When you first went to school, how did you learn that 2 + 2 = 4? You know, I'm in school now, and I just know that's right. You just know it. I just absorbed it or something. No? So how did you learn that 2 + 2 = 4? Yeah. We had one. We had two apples, and then we had two apples, and then we had to count with the teachers. One, two, three, four. Wow. Okay, that's one, two, and one, two. And we had lots of effort and repetition, and then all of a sudden we understood that 2 + 2 = 4. When we get saved, God changes our mind, but we have to begin to fill it. We've got to apply it so we can understand, what are these things? What are these truths of God? When the Bible commands us to love with our mind, it is not a feeling. It's action. It's work. And that's why I think perhaps many have failed, because we got to put forth work. When Isaiah 1:18 says, come, let us reason together, it is not a feeling. It is not kick back in your lazy chair and just meditate. No, it's come. Reason means think about it. Form judgments. Understand. Do we love God with all our mind? So let me give you a few little tips, few little things to practice that maybe you could love God with your mind in a greater way. First of all, read your Bible actively, not passively. All right, two words that are a little bit, maybe we don't use all the time. So what does it mean to read our Bible actively? Have you ever said, I didn't get anything out of my Bible reading today? Well, how did you read your Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, and there you go. Quickly, skim through it. Read it. Didn't really think about it too much. That's passive reading. That's passive reading. Active reading, put in effort. Active reading is like mining for gold or drilling for oil. You're not going to find very much on the surface, but you get down below the surface and you're going to find a wealth, great wealth. So active Bible reading, I think it would include taking notes. You might do it on your device. Maybe you've got an app on your phone, or maybe you've got a tablet, or maybe you have a piece of paper. Just write down what comes to your mind when you're reading that. Oh, I don't understand what that word means. I'm going to look that up real quick over here. Webster says, oh, Strong says, oh, okay, that makes more sense. Allow enough time. If you woke up and you're 5 minutes late and you grab a Bible verse on the way out the door, it's probably not active. It's probably not going to stay with you. Remind yourself throughout the day what you read. Try adding the verse to your prayer. Scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So work the word of God into your prayer so that you can have some faith. Thank you, Lord, that your name is a strong tower, and I certainly have needed that today. Thank you, Lord. Lord, your word promises strength for my days, and I've been really tired here lately, so I'm claiming that strength for my days. Look how I'm working the word of God. I'm praying actively. I'm reading actively. I'm loving God with my mind, not just feelings. Oh, dear Jesus, you know I like chocolate ice cream. It'd be really nice if I could, you know, stop and get some today. I mean, that's okay if that's a big, but you see what I'm talking about, depth. Now, here's another one. Read and study theology. Oh, Sister Sherry, that's a big word, and I don't really know what it means. That's okay, I didn't either, so I had to look it up. But it's not hard. Theology is just the study of God and God's word. So, in addition to your Bible, add some things, some helps. Add some study helps. The bookstore is full of them. The church website is full of things that you can study to help you. But be careful. Be careful. There was one that I was following. There was some YouTube videos. He's dead and gone now. Outstanding thoughts. And oh, I'd just be writing them down. It was so good. And the man died, and a huge scandal has exploded. He was a mess. He was a mess. He was doing a lot of things he shouldn't. And I thought, ooh, maybe I should have checked him out just a little bit more before I started following him. So be careful. Make sure you're following a credible source. I'm not saying that they can only be, you know, God's Acres ministers, but I want you to just be really careful. Ask people to help you. Ask your spiritual leaders, your parents. Hey, do you know a really good book that could help me? I started one here recently on Paul. The Life of Paul by F.B. Meyers, and it's just outstanding. And when I'm reading Acts, it makes the whole book of Acts just really come to life because it's filling in historical details and it's opening up my understanding of that. That's loving God with your mind, not just quickly skimming through a scripture, but really digging in to see, what does this verse mean? You might take home your Sunday school lesson. Do the daily Bible readings. Fill out the questions in the back. Take notes about it. What I want you to do is cultivate a strong appetite for learning. And I have a philosophy. If you'll go into your Bible with one question and really dig in there to get your answer, you'll probably leave with two or three more. I'll get that one question answered, but I'll come out with, oh, okay, that makes sense, but what about this? What about that? What's that doing? It's making me want to get back into the Word and strengthen my mind, loving God with all my mind. Cultivate an appetite for understanding. And one last thing, bring your mind into worship. Love the Lord your God with all your mind in worship. Can we sing an entire song out of the Church of God hymnal and never think about one word we just sang? I can you? And unfortunately, I have, and I'm not proud of that. Is that loving the Lord my God with all my mind when I sang a whole entire song? Like, once again, we come, look at her long skirt, wonder why he's sitting there. My shoes are too tight, wish I'd have wore a different outfit. Oh, what's this song about? You've never done that? I've done that. Maybe not necessarily quite like that, and thankfully not out loud. Is that loving the Lord my God with all my mind in the worship? Of course it's not. And the devil works on every one of us. Get your mind over here. What's going to happen if you love the Lord your God with all your mind? It will change your life. And the devil knows that. And he's going to do his best to divert your mind and distract your mind. Think about the song instead. Train your mind. Once again, we come to the house of God. You know, during COVID, we couldn't even come to the house of God. That was horrible. And I missed it. I can be here today. Thank you, Lord. Once again, we come to the house of God to unite. Oh, look here. My church family can be here with me. I'm not by myself. In songs of praise. See how different that is? I'm thinking about what I'm saying. But that's going to require effort, training, not a whole lot of feeling. Now, the feeling will come. Let the words make you thankful for what God has done. Young people, loving God with your mind is going to be a lifelong journey, and it's going to require focus and discipline. But it is going to be so worth it. This lesson challenged me, and I just say to you in closing, how is your life going to change if you would make an attempt to love God with all your mind this year? All your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength.